podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to The Punt podcast. Good to have your company ahead of the League Cup quarterfinals on Tuesday and Wednesday night. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Alex Dunn to preview these matches. But before we get stuck into the League Cup, there is a bit of, in inverted commas, breaking news. We are recording this just an hour after the sacking of Jose Mourinho at Manchester United. Maybe an overdue sacking. Mr. Alex Dunn joins me here on the podcast.
Hey. Hey, David Kay.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How am I sweating? We're in the hottest studio in the world. It's one of the coldest days outside. I've got a bit of a bead on.
It is hot in here.
Yeah.
We're just going to try and power through that, aren't we?
We are, yes. I've got a nice jumper on, which I thought was what needed to be worn today, but not the case. But hey, there's bigger things to worry about.
Shall I give you the prices for who will be Manchester United manager on the first day of next Premier League season?
As of 11:03 this morning, yes, you can.
Zinedine Zidane is 7-4 favourites. Mauricio Pochettino is 4-1. Laurent Blanc is 8-1. Leonardo Jardim is 9-1. Antonio Conte and Diego Simeone, both 14-1. 20-1 and bigger the rest. That includes Arsene Wenger and Michael Carrick, Joachim Löw. Further down the betting, Ryan Giggs is 25-1. And this has already, we're recording this maybe 90 minutes after the sacking of Jose Mourinho. And this market's already been volatile, shall we say. Pochettino has been favourite in this market. Zidane is now restored as favourite in the market at 7-4. And I'm sure there's a lot more water to pass under the bridge before we find out who the next permanent Manchester United will be.
Yeah.
Manager.
I'd like it to be Pochettino.
Would you?
Well, I say I'd like it to be. I want him to achieve success. I like him.
I think he's a fantastic, fantastic manager. And I think it was notable that as soon as the story broke, Sky Sports obviously got Gary Neville on.
Yeah.
Because Gary Neville is their main pundit and has a long history at Manchester United. And he immediately talked up Mauricio Pochettino. And as soon as that happened, my ears perked up and I thought, does he know something here, Gary Neville? And it wouldn't be a surprise to me at all if he got the job, because Manchester United have courted Pochettino for such a long time.
But I'd quite like him to achieve success with Spurs, to be honest. But if they're not going to give him money, that's the one thing he will have at Man U.
Absolutely. What do you say to those people who say, why would he take the job, Pochettino? Because he's building a legacy at Spurs. They've just got the new stadium. He's enjoying success there. They're getting better and better, Spurs. Why would he want to go to a struggling club who are 19 points behind Liverpool?
I'm going to say something now, which I'm not going to be happy with myself for saying. They're a bigger club. Now, I don't want to annoy Spurs fans, and I don't really want to big up Man U fans. I can't stand most of them. But, no offence, Man U fans. I just work with some of them and they're idiots. I cannot understand how, well, including you, by the way, I cannot stand
I
how,
got that, actually.
How people say, oh, bigger club. They're a bigger club. So? Who cares? Look at the league table right now. Who is doing better? Yeah, but they're a bigger club. It happens in... I'm a Newcastle fan. It happened in the Championship for a long time with Leeds fans and Sheffield Wednesday fans, Aston Villa fans, and people go, big club. I hate the phrase, but to reach the pinnacle of the managerial game, you've got more chance of doing it at Man United than you do at Tottenham.
Definitely. And Manchester United are one of those clubs that, as a manager growing up, I can only imagine, but as a manager growing up, you think, I want this job on my CV. I want the Real Madrid job on my CV, the Barcelona job on my CV, the Manchester United job on my CV. They are a huge, huge club, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Mauricio Pochettino, having reached this level at Spurs, decides, I want to kick on now and win a Champions League, mm-hmm. win the Premier League. I don't want to be at a club that have to balance the books.
No, I agree. Man United are 1 point ahead of Wolves right now. If Nuno left, there'd be a flurry of excitement. That's all. It would last about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Everyone would go, oh, Wolves are sacked the manager. By tomorrow, no one would be talking about it. The fact that it's Manchester United is why everybody's talking about it.
Are you going with Pochettino then to get the job?
From a betting point of view, 4-1 is good, I think.
Yeah.
And in terms of, if I was a Man U fan, I'd want Pochettino, definitely. Would I want Zidane? I don't think I would. That's not to say he's a bad manager, but he's got more to prove than others, I'd say. I know he's won the Champions League, but he's done it at a club that he knows inside out. Coming to a foreign country with no managerial experience in that country, no managerial experience of anything other than what he has known for, what, the last 10 years of his playing career, plus his managerial career, it would be difficult. Part of me really wants them to give it to Wenger. I think that'd be funny. I just think that'd be hilarious. And yeah, of others at bigger prices. I mean,
what about Eddie Howe?
Yeah,
at 25-1, he just leaps out to me because he has experience in the Premier League. Is the sort of manager that you'd maybe invest in for the future.
No,
but maybe not a Manchester United appointment.
He is. He's better. Well, is he better? He's David Moyes, isn't he?
Probably, yes.
If you go back to when they hired David Moyes, that's exactly what Moyes done. A really good job at Everton, and Howe's done a good job at Bournemouth. Howe went to Burnley, didn't he, a few years ago and didn't succeed. He just seems... I think he likes the sea air. I think that's the thing. I think if he's going to move to a better job, it has to be somewhere near the coast.
There's a canal in Manchester and it always rains.
Right, well, there you go. But no, I think Pochettino 4-1 is the most interesting by a mile.
Yeah.
The only other manager that, if I was a Man U fan, I would love to see there is Simeone. He's 14-1 currently. But they want entertaining football. He does not provide that. He is a bit Mourinho-y in some ways. Mm. But yeah, if I was in charge of this recruitment operation, I'd be putting all my eggs in Posh's basket.
Why are you not? That's the question.
I've been busy.
Yeah.
Got things to do, haven't I?
Well, you've got to talk about Middlesbrough versus Burton on this podcast, because that's one of the League Cup quarterfinals. It is this evening. Middlesbrough are 4-9 to win it. The draw 100-30 with Burton in the betting at 13-2. We've got loads of trending hashtag your odds markets on the website and on the app, and enhancements as well. Middlesbrough to win by 3 or more was 27-10. That's been boosted to 4-1. Liam Boyce to score and Burton to win was 11-1. That's been enhanced to 14-1. Tell me about this football match.
Well, talking to managers that no one likes, Tony Pulis is coming under a bit of pressure as Borough boss, because they have been playing unattractive football for a while now. But it's been...
That's a shock, isn't it?
It's been at least getting results. Only now, all of a sudden, the results are drying up. They've not won in 4 in the league now. Draws against Preston and Blackburn and losses against Villa and QPR are not particularly inspiring. And I think it's a good time for Burton to play them, but I also think it's a good time for Borough to have a cup game.
Yes.
Distract themselves for a little bit,
yeah,
and maybe get back. I just can't see Burton springing another upset here. They've had an incredible campaign in terms of upsets in the cup so far. They beat Shrewsbury, they beat Aston Villa, they beat Burnley, they beat Nottingham Forest. They have superseded everything. They've exceeded all expectations of them this season in the cup, but their league form has been average at best, and away from home they're not very good. I can't see anything other than Middlesbrough just absolutely pulissing them. Now, I'm not suggesting he'll go and line up with five at the back as he tends to do, but I just think I can't see Burton scoring. So I think it'll be a low scoring home win, 1-0, 2-0 Borough. I think it'll be pretty uneventful. They're not the worst price, Middlesbrough. If you're forming an ACCA, I think they can go in.
Middlesbrough and under 2.5 goals is available at 13-5.
That's nice.
That's nice, isn't it?
Because Borough aren't
2-0.
Borough aren't going to go there and win 4-0. They won't. Yeah, I think that's a massive price, actually, 13-5.
Yeah.
That's certainly where I'd go with this. Look, Borough still can go up, and I think that they're probably better equipped than most teams to go up. They're that kind of team that's a little too good for the Championship and not quite good enough for the Premier League. It happens a lot. You get teams who do that. West Brom are the obvious example from years gone by. Boing, boing, baggies. Well, under Pulis, Borough are solid.
Yeah.
And they can go up by being solid, but they won't stay up by being solid. Anyway, that's all to come. That's in the league. In the cup, I think they're going to get to the League Cup semi-finals. I don't think they'll get much further than that, but I do think it'll be Borough who end up there. And fair play to them. They've not done anything fantastic in the competition. They beat Palace in the last round. But they've got the best of the ties here, and they're going to coast through as far as I'm concerned.
Let's move on to Leicester versus Manchester City. This is televised this evening. Leicester 8-1 to win the game. The draw 17-4. City are 32-100. To qualify, Leicester 4-1, Manchester City 1-7. Let me pick out a couple of enhancements that could be intriguing. Man City to win both halves, perhaps, given they are long odds on in the 90-minute market. That was 19-10. That's been boosted to 9-4. And if you fancy Jamie Vardy and Gabriel Jesus both to score in this match, that was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 11-2. Obviously, team news is going to be vitally important here. And I previewed this match for William Hill Retail and thought that Man City were pretty short in the market here at 32-100, given they will make loads of changes. But Manchester City to win and both teams to score is available at 17-10. And given that's landed in three of their last four matches, I thought that was reasonably appealing. And Kelechi Iheanacho's got an unbelievable record in this competition, both when he was at Manchester City and since his move to Leicester. It's a ridiculous stat. He's been involved in seven goals in his last nine League Cup matches, scoring four. He will, in all likelihood, start up front this evening. He's 16-5 to score any time for Leicester. I just think it's difficult to take Manchester City on because they've got such incredible strength in depth.
Yeah, and you look at the, in inverted commas, fringe players who are going to come into this City side, and it's frightening. De Bruyne, for one.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, we'll call you up, Kevin, shall we? If you're Leicester, you're just like, oh, no.
He's because he got 15 minutes at the weekend, I was having an internal debate about whether he would actually start this game or whether Pep would give him maybe 20 minutes at the end of the game. But I think
he'll start this.
Yeah, I think he will definitely have some involvement in this match.
It's one of those games that you just think, God, am I tempted by Leicester here? I think Man City will win, but I can see Leicester scoring. Well, can I see Leicester scoring? I think it'll be fairly low scoring because City defensively have been really poor recently. As a man who's got two City defenders in his fantasy team, they're causing me a few headaches at the minute because not only do they rotate for fun, they also haven't been rock solid recently. Interestingly, though, both of these sides yet to concede a goal in their League Cup ties this season. I think that'll certainly change for Leicester this time around. You're right, Man City outright are too short, but I do think that they'll get through. But again, I'd probably go Man City and unders in this.
All right, okay.
So for all I've said, Leicester could score. This is more of a price play as much as anything. But
that's 3-1, by the way, Man City.
City 1-0 or 2-0.
Under 2.5.
I'd say the most likely scorelines in this game. Of course, team news dependent, and you'd expect them to rotate a little bit, Man City. And actual fringe players will come in. The likes of Zinchenko, maybe Phil Foden. But they're good players. Mm. It's no problem. They'd get into the Leicester side, you'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a Leicester side who, their fringe players aren't up to much, really. And they've not really impressed me this season. When they've got results, they've ground them out. And I just think Man City will have too much for them, quite simply. So I don't like the price. And if you're having an acca, I'd sooner put Middlesbrough in than Man City. But I do think Man City will win.
Let's move on to Wednesday's two quarterfinals. Chelsea versus Bournemouth, first of all, at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2-7 to win the game. The draw 9-2, Bournemouth 9-1. Enhanced odds, Ruben Loftus-Cheek to score and Chelsea to win was 13-8. That's been boosted to 2-1. And if you fancy Chelsea to win both halves in the match, that was 19-10. That's been enhanced to 9-4. Chelsea come into this on the back of a 2-1 win away at Brighton at the weekend. Whereas Bournemouth are going through a sticky patch at the moment. They've lost four of their last five in the Premier League under Eddie Howe. This is an intriguing fixture, this one. Chelsea have won all three of their League Cup meetings with Bournemouth, including a 2-1 victory at this exact stage of the competition last season. But Bournemouth have to find a little bit of form, and I think Bournemouth will select a strong side for this.
Yeah, I think they will. They're so good to watch, Bournemouth. Not in terms of they play beautiful football, but they're just a bit cavalier. They've got a real goal threat, and they've got little to no defensive ability. It's quite fun.
They've basically just got eight forwards, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's great to watch because even off the bench, you're bringing on players who can affect a game. Junior Stanislas is no world beater, but you bring him on with 20 minutes to go and he causes problems. Mm-hmm. He can deliver a good set piece. Chelsea, on the other hand... again, team news will be really interesting here because obviously they've been in the Europa League this season, so a lot of their fringe players have actually had plenty of game time. It's not like they've just been rotting and playing for the under-23s. So you're looking at the likes of Loftus-Cheek.
Yes.
You're looking at the likes of Hudson-Odoi if he's to start. I don't think he will start here because I think Chelsea will put a fair team out. You've got to think, I know this is a competition that is shunned by many managers, particularly early on in the season, but in all likelihood, this is one of two trophies that Chelsea can win that they care about right now. Mm. This is where Chelsea start to care about this competition.
Yep.
They don't care about the Europa League just yet. They will if they get to the quarters, but right now they're not fussed. They won't win the Premier League, so you've got the FA Cup. So it's, I think all of a sudden you've got to go, all right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd
quite like to win this now.
Especially when a manager's in his first season in charge as well.
Yet to win a trophy.
Silverware.
Exactly. And the kind of players that'll come in, I mean, Olivier Giroud's 17-20 to score any time in this. It's a little short, but he is going to be the main man, you'd imagine. Eden Hazard is a question mark, fitness-wise. He got an ankle knock against Brighton. He's had an ankle knock for a while.
They don't risk him in this game, I don't think.
I think they would do if he was fighting fit, but he's not. So this is the opportunity to just rest him up a little bit. But, I mean, you've got players in this squad that you just think, oh, they're still there, are they? Victor Moses, Danny Drinkwater, Zappa Costa, Emerson. Now, I'm not saying that all or any of those are going to play as such, but it is important to just note that they are good players and Chelsea are going to be replacing quality with quality in this.
Yeah.
I'm going to put one up at a big price to score first, and that is Ruben Loftus-Cheek at 11-2.
I like that.
His goal scoring this season has been phenomenal in the Europa League. Bagged a hat-trick, of course, earlier on. Scored in the Premier League recently as well. He's a real player. And you've just got to hope that he's playing in a slightly more advanced role, maybe off Giroud on this occasion. But I think that's a good bet. To score first 11-2, I think we'll see plenty of goals anyway. So if you want to back him any time at 8-5, you're more than welcome to. But it just seems a little cramped for me. I'll take them to score first 11-2. But ultimately, Chelsea will be the side that get through from this. I can see both teams scoring in the game. That's 17-10 for Chelsea to win and both teams to score.
OK, let's talk about the last of the quarterfinals. Big one as well, North London derby. Arsenal versus Spurs at the Emirates. Arsenal 6-4 to win the game. The draw 5-2 with Spurs in the betting at 17-10. To qualify, Arsenal 4-5, Spurs are 10-11. Plenty of enhancements as usual. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Harry Kane both to score, assuming they both start this game, was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Lacazette is a likely starter. For him to score in an Arsenal win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Just a couple picked out there for you. I think this is intriguing because I've still got that game in early December fresh in my memory where Arsenal beat Spurs 4-2. And it was really... it was Unai Emery. I know they've been on this incredible unbeaten run, Arsenal, 22 matches before they lost against Southampton at the weekend. But that was, I thought, his announcement into the Premier League, him saying I'm here, I've changed the way Arsenal play. I've changed the style. We are now going to get results in big games. That was it's early to say a watershed moment, but that's what it felt like for Arsenal in that North London derby.
There's one player for Arsenal that I think has changed everything, and that's Torreira.
Yes, I agree.
And he's almost been so... It's so obvious that it feels overhyped. But I don't think you can underestimate his importance to that team.
No one's talking about him as a dark horse for...
No. Everyone's going, oh, better than Kante. Well, no, he's not. But he's very good. And he's got that energy and that drive, and that's what they've been missing.
He has been better than Kante this season, but then Kante's been playing out of position most of the season.
I tell you, it's really interesting. I was listening to something the other day where... Do you know what? I've completely forgotten my anecdote. It is just completely gone.
Can I leave that in?
Yeah, leave it in. Leave it in. I want to think about this. What are we talking about? Torreira, Kante. Something came into my mind and now it's just gone.
Oh, I love it.
It was good as well. It was worth discussion. What are we talking about? Torreira's been really important to them. Kante. Better than Kante. No,
You were listening to something.
I made that up.
Oh, right.
I was trying to buy myself some time. I might have read it. I can't remember.
I'm going to have to move on from this, I think.
Existential crisis.
Yeah.
Torreira's influence has just been absolutely massive. He's been such a big player for Arsenal. And players who were not performing under Wenger are performing for Emery. Yes, he's changed the system a little bit. And well, crucially, he's dropped Mesut Ozil.
Yes.
Which... is ballsy.
And having watched the game against Southampton at the weekend where Ozil came on with around about 20 minutes left and then gave the ball away, I know it was Leno's fault in the end for the Charlie Austin winner, but Mesut Ozil, I think, showed the reasons why Unai Emery hasn't been picking him, because he had possession, comfortable possession, middle of the field, gave the ball away, they went up the other end and scored. It wasn't an advertisement for him to start future games.
Mm. I've remembered what I was going to talk about.
Oh, good.
I think it was on Monday Night Football or Super Sunday. It was Messrs. Neville and Carragher, anyway.
Okay.
And they were talking about how Liverpool, for a long time, have been crying out for a goalkeeper and a centre-half.
I will, by the way, edit that down a little bit. Well, I'll leave that pause in while we try to...
Honestly, listeners...
While Alex tried to remember his anecdote.
Dave's going to edit that into maybe a 10-second delay. I was thinking for about 4 minutes and I've remembered. Genuine, minor health concern going forward, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, eventually, Liverpool said to Klopp, right, here is a lot of money.
Yes.
Get your goalkeeper, get your centre-half. And look at them now.
Yeah.
They are pretty formidable.
Absolutely.
If you did that with Arsenal, if you said, go and buy one of the world's top five keepers, and, well, Van Dijk is now one of the world's top five centre-halves, but at the time, maybe top 10, top 15.
Yeah.
If you really go and splash the cash on them, I think Arsenal would be up there. Maybe not quite as good as Liverpool, not quite as good as Man City, but they could challenge for the title. Don't think they'd win it, but they could challenge. And that's what they're lacking at the minute. But Torreira is a key part of that team. He is... leg one of what needs to be more. Anyway, as for the game on Wednesday night, will he play? That's point number one. I think he probably will. But of course, the game that they played earlier this month, wasn't it?
Yes.
Earlier this month.
Yeah. It was 2nd of December.
It was feisty.
It was. I think, the most entertaining Premier League game this season.
It was just fun to watch as a neutral.
Yes.
So I'd certainly be backing Cards again this time around, because I think there'll be a bit of a hangover from that. I think it could get a little bit... there could just be a little bit of aggro. Mm-hmm. Eric Dier, of course, caused a little bit of the aggro. He won't be playing. He's got appendicitis. So hopefully he's feeling better soon. But it is...
I'll pass on your kind words.
Oh, he listens, don't worry.
Okay.
But it's awful, by the way, appendicitis. Come on. Have you ever had it?
No, I've not, no.
It's not fun. Anyway, I've got to be honest, I don't have a clue which way this is going to go.
Okay.
It's priced up as such. I think I'd probably back Spurs as they're a bigger price. But rather than back Spurs, I'd probably rather back Kane to score and Spurs to win at 3-1.
You see, I'd probably back Arsenal because they're at home and they're a very similar price to Spurs. So
I respect your opinion. The
90 minutes prices in this match, they will change considerably when team news is announced for this game.
True. True. And Spurs have had a number of big games recently. They might be feeling a little bit tired, but he's rotated quite well as Pochettino. He's played players, you know, he wouldn't have wanted to play Kyle Walker-Peters at the Nou Camp. He did, and he wasn't great, but it's slightly fresher legs there. You know, he's incorporated Foyth into the first team picture. He's bedding players in here and there. Harry Kane was even rested the other week. I'm just coming down on Spurs, but only just. But the best bet for me, if you could get a your odds market,
yep,
Kane to score, cards are plenty.
As we've mentioned, we're recording this Tuesday morning. Cards market's not yet out on the website for the game on Wednesday night. They will appear and pop up on the app as well, so do check those out. But as Alex mentioned, we have the your odds facility here at William Hill. So tweet using that hashtag your odds to @WilliamHill, and the traders will price pretty much anything you want up. So you'd be looking at maybe player A, player B, player C to be carded in a little bundle.
Yeah, I mean, there's numerous contenders depending on who starts.
Yeah.
But Arsenal have been lacking in defenders recently. They've got no fit defenders. If Koscielny starts, he looked off the pace the other day. Whether he can handle another game in such quick time remains to be seen, but he should be getting booked. Lichtsteiner is a walking yellow if he's available. They are struggling defensively, Arsenal. That would be another reason why I think Kane is worth a bet. Because this is not the... You'd be playing Arsenal's, what, third, fourth, fifth choice centre-halves here. Mm. Maybe even outplayers out of position. So that strengthens the case for Spurs somewhat.
It is well worth noting that Harry Kane hasn't played in a League Cup match since September 2015.
Well,
Spurs lost to Arsenal that day, 2-1. And guess who scored both goals for Arsenal on that occasion?
Go on.
I could probably give you 100 guesses and you wouldn't get it.
When was it? 2015?
2015.
Nicholas Bentner?
No.
Oh.
Mathieu Flamini.
Oh, that would have taken a while.
That would have taken a while, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. So we're looking for cards in that market, but no particular opinion on the 90 minutes betting. I'm shading Arsenal in that game.
I'm shading Spurs just because I'm quite happy to disagree with you normally. But
absolutely.
I do think, team news dependent, if Kane starts against a shaky Arsenal defence, I've sort of convinced myself mid-preview that Spurs are the better.
And thanks for that anecdote, by the way, as well. I've now got to go back through the podcast and edit that four-minute
silence. Back time is something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Thank you for your company, Alex. It's always a pleasure speaking football with you.
Thank you, Dave. I've now stopped sweating, you'll be pleased to know. I'm going to go about my day.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the Punt Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. It's been fun. Check out all the betting for the League Cup quarterfinals and, of course, the next manager of Manchester United at the start of the new Premier League season. All the betting available on the William Hill website and on the app, and this podcast, along with numerous others, available at audioboom.com. And we'll speak ahead of the Premier League weekend on the punt on Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.